Gerusalemme Liberata by Torquato Tasso. Book 18, Part 2. While thus the camp and thus the town were bent, these to assault, these to defend the wall, a speedy dove through the clear welkin went, straight o'er the tents, seen by the soldiers all. With nimble fans the yielding air she rent, nor seemed it that she would alight or fall, till she arrived near that besieged town, then from the clouds at last she stooped down. But lo, from whence I knolt, a falcon came, armed with crooked bill and talons long, and twixt the camp and city crossed her game, that durst not bide her foe's encounter strong. But right upon the royal tent down came, and there the lords and princes great among, when the sharp hawk nigh touched her tender head, in Godfrey's lap she fell, with fear half dead. The duke received her, saved her, and spied, as he beheld the bird, a wondrous thing. About her neck a letter close was tied, by a small thread, and thrust under her wing. He loosed forth the writ, and spread it wide, and read the intent thereof. "To Judah's king," thus said the schedule, "honors high increase. The Egyptian chieftain wisheth health and peace. Fear not, renowned prince, resist, endure, till the third day, or till the fourth at most. I come, and your deliverance will procure, and kill your coward foes and all their host." This secret in that brief was closed up sure, written strange language, to the winged post, given to transport, for in their warlike need the East such message used, oft with good speed. The duke let go the captive dove at large, and she that had his counsel close betrayed, traitress to her great lord, touched not the marge of Salem's town, but fled far thence afraid. The duke, before all those which had or charge or office high, the letter read, and said, "See how the goodness of our Lord foreshows the secret purpose of our crafty foes. No longer, then, let us protract the time, but scale the bulwark of this fortress high. Through sweat and labor against the rocks sublime, let us ascend, which to the southward lie. Hard will it be that way in arms to climb, but yet the place and passage both know I, and that high wall by sight strong on that part is least defenced by arms, by work and art. Thou, Raymond, on this side, with all thy might, assault the wall, and by those crags ascend. My squadrons with mine engines huge shall fight, and gainst the northern gate my puissance bend, that so our foes, beguiled with the sight, our greatest force and power shall there attend, while my great tower from thence shall nimbly slide, and batter down some worse defended side. Camillo, thou not far from me shall rear another tower, close to the walls abrought." This spoken, Raymond old that sat him near, and while he talked, great things tossed in his thought, said, "To Godfredo's counsel given us here, nought can be added, from it taken nought. Yet this I further wish, that some were sent to spy their camp, their secret and intent, that may their number and their squadrons brave describe, and through their tents disguised mask." Quoth Tancred, "Lo, a subtle squire I have, a person fit to undertake this task, a man quick, ready, bold, sly to deceive, to answer, wise, and well advised to ask, well languaged, and that with time and place can change his look, his voice, his gait, his grace. A man quick, ready, bold, sly to deceive, to answer, wise, and well advised to ask, well languaged, and that with time and place can change his look, his voice, his gait, his grace. Sent for, he came, and when his lord him told what Godfrey's pleasure was, and what his own, he smiled, and said forthwith he gladly would. "I go," quoth he, "careless what chance be thrown, and where encamped be these pagans bold, will walk in every tent, a spy unknown. their camp even at noonday I enter shall, and number all their horse and footmen all. How great, how strong, how armed this army is, and what their guide intends, I will declare. To me the secrets of that heart of his, and hidden thoughts shall open, lie and bare. Thus Vafrin spoke, nor longer stayed on this, but for a mantle changed the coat he wore. Naked was his neck, and bout his forehead bold, of linen white, full 20 yards he rolled. His weapons were a Syrian bow and quiver, his gestures barbarous, like the Turkish train. Wondered all they that heard his tongue deliver of every land the language true and plain. In Tyre, a born Phoenician, by the river of Nile, a knight bred in the Egyptian main, both people would have thought him. Forth he rides on a swift steed o'er hills and dales that glides. But ere the third day came, the French forth sent their pioneers to even the rougher ways, and ready-made each warlike instrument, nor aught their labor interrupts or stays. Their nights in busy toil they likewise spent, and with long evenings lengthened forth short days, till naught was left the hosts that hinder might to use their utmost power and strength in fight. That day, which of the assault the day forerun, the godly duke in prayer spent well nigh, and all the rest, because they had misdone, the sacrament receive and mercy cry. Then oft the duke his engines great begun to show where least he would their strength apply. Though his foes rejoiced, deluded in that sort, to see them bent against their surest port. But after, aided by the friendly knight, his greatest engine to that side he brought where plainest seemed the wall, where with their might the flankers least could hurt them as they fought. And to the southern mountain's greatest height, to raise his turret, old Raimondo sought. And thou, Camillo, on that part hadst thine, where from the north the walls did westward twine. But when amid the eastern heaven appeared the rising morning, bright as shining glass, the troubled pagan saw, and seeing feared, how the great tower stood not where late it was, and here and there, tofore unseen, was reared of timber strong a huge and fearful mass, and numberless with beams, with ropes and strings, they view the iron rams, the barks and slings. The Syrian people now were no whit slow their best defences to that side to bear, where Godfrey did his greatest engine show, from thence where late in vain they placed were. But he who at his back right well did know the host of Egypt to be approaching near, to him called Guelpho and the Roberts twain, and said, "On horseback, look you still remain, and have regard, while all our people strive to scale this wall, where weak it seems and thin, lest unawares some sudden host arrive, and at our backs unlooked-for war begin." This said, three fierce assaults at once they give. The hardy soldiers all would die or win, and on three parts resistance makes the king, and rage gainst strength, despair gainst hope doth bring. Himself upon his limbs with feeble eld that shook, unwieldy with their proper weight, his armor laid and long unused shield, and marched gainst Raymond to the mountain's height. Great Soliman gainst Godfrey took the field. For next Camillo stood Argantes straight, where Tancred strong he found. So fortune will that this good prince his wanted foe shall kill. The archers shot their arrows sharp and keen, dipped in the bitter juice of poison strong. The shady face of heaven was scantly seen, hid with the clouds of shafts and quarries long. Yet weapons sharp with greater fury been cast from the towers the pagan troops among, for thence flew stones and cliffs of marble rocks, trees shod with iron, timber, logs, and blocks. A thunderbolt seemed every stone, it brake his limbs and armors on whomso it light. that life and soul it did not only take, but all his shape and face disfigured quite. The lances stayed not in the wounds they make, but through the gored body took their flight. From side to side, through flesh, through skin and rind, they flew, and flying, left sad death behind. But yet not all this force and fury drove the pagan people to forsake the wall. But to revenge these deadly blows they strove, with darts that fly, with stones and trees that fall. For need so cowards oft courageous prove, for liberty they fight, for life and all. And oft with arrows, shafts, and stones that fly, give bitter answer to a sharp reply. This while the fierce assailants never cease, but sternly still maintain a threefold charge, and gainst the clouds of shafts draw nigh at ease, under a pentis made of many a targe. The armed towers close to the bulwarks press, and strive to grapple with the battled marge, and launch their bridges out. Meanwhile below, with iron fronts, the rams the walls down throw. Yet still Rinaldo unresolved went, and far unworthy him this service thought, if mongst the common sort his pains he spent. Renown so got, the prince esteemed not. His angry looks on every side he bent, and where most harm, most danger was, he fought. And where the wall, high, strong, and surest was, that part would he assault, and that way pass. And turning to the worthies him behind, all hardy knights, whom Dudon late did guide, "Oh, shame!" quoth he, "this wall no war doth find, when battered is elsewhere each part, each side. All pain is safety to a valiant mind, each way is eath to him that dares abide. Come, let us scale this wall, though strong and high, and with your shields keep off the darts that fly." With him united all, while thus he spake, their targets hard above their heads they threw, which joined in one an iron pentis make, that from the dreadful storm preserved the crew. Defended thus, their speedy course they take, and to the wall without resistance drew, for that strong pentacle protected well the knights from all that flew and all that fell. Against the fort Rinaldo gan uprear a ladder huge and 100 steps of height, and in his arm the same did easily bear, and move as winds do reeds or rushes light. Sometimes a tree, a rock, a dart or spear fell from above, yet forward clomb the knight, and upward fearless pierced, careless still, though Mount Olympus fell, or Ossa Hill. A mount of ruins and of shafts of wood upon his shoulders, and his shield he bore. One hand the ladder held whereon he stood, the other bare his targe, his face before. His hardy troop, by his example good, provoked, with him the place assaulted sore, and ladders long against the wall they clap, unlike in courage yet, unlike in hap. One died, another fell. He forward went, and these he comforts, and he threateneth those. Now with his hand outstretched the battlement well nigh he reached, when all his armed foes ran thither, and their force and fury bent to throw him headlong down. Yet up he goes, a wondrous thing, one knight whole armed bands alone, and hanging in the air, withstands. Withstands and forceth his great strength so far, that like a palm whereon huge weight doth rest, his forces so resisted stronger are, his virtues higher rise, the more oppressed. And till all that would his entrance bold debar, he backward drove, upleapt and possessed the wall, and safe and easy with his blade to all that after came the passage made. There killing such as durst and did withstand, to noble Eustace that was like to fall, he reached forth his friendly conquering hand, and next himself helped him to mount the wall. This while Godfredo and his people land their lives to greater harms and dangers thrall. For there, not man with man, nor knight with knight contend, but engines there with engines fight. For in that place the Paynims reared a post, which late had served some gallant ship for mast, and over it another beam they crossed, pointed with iron sharp, to it made fast with ropes, which as men would the dormant tossed, now out, now in, now back, now forward cast. In his swift pulleys oft the men withdrew the tree, and oft the riding bulk forth threw. The mighty beam redoubted oft his blows, and with such force the engine smote and hit, that her broadside the tower wide open throws. Her joints were broke, her rafters cleft and split. But yet, gainst every hap whence mischief grows, prepared the piece, gainst such extremes made fit, launch forth two scythes, sharp cutting long and broad, and cut the ropes whereon the engine rode. As an old rock, which age or stormy wind tears from some craggy hill or mountain steep, doth break, doth bruise, and into dust doth grind, woods, houses, hamlets, herds, and folds of sheep, so fell the beam, and down with it all kind of arms, of weapons, and of men did sweep. Wherewith the towers once or twice did shake, trembled the walls, the hills and mountains quake. Victorious Godfrey boldly forward came, and had great hope even then the place to win. But lo, a fire, with stench, with smoke and flame, withstood his passage, stopped his entrance in. Such burning Aetna never yet could frame, when from her entrails hot her fires begin, nor yet in summer on the Indian plain such vapors warm from scorching air down rain. There balls of wildfire, there fly burning spears. This flame was black, that blue, that red as blood. Stench well-nigh choked them, noise deafs their ears, smoke blinds their eyes, fire kindleth on the wood. Nor those raw hides which for defence it wears could save the tower, in such distress it stood. For now they wrinkle, now it sweats and fries, now burns, unless some help come down from skies. The hardy duke before his folk abides, nor changed his key colour, countenance, or place, but comforts those that from the scaldered hides with water strove the approaching flames to chase. In these extremes the prince and those he guides half-roasted stood before fierce Vulcan's face. When lo, a sudden and unlooked-for blast the flames against the kindlers backward cast. The winds drove back the fire where heaped lie the pagans' weapons, where their engines were, which kindling quickly in their substance dry, burnt all their store and all their warlike gear. O glorious captain, whom the Lord on high defends, whom God preserves and holds so dear! For thee heaven fights, to thee the winds from far, called with thy trumpet's blast, obedient are. But wicked Ismen to his harm that saw how the fierce blast drove back the fire in flame, by art would nature change, and thence withdraw those noisome winds, else calm and still the same. Twixt two false wizards, without fear or awe, upon the walls in open sight he came, black, grisly, loathsome, grim, and ugly-faced, like Pluto old betwixt two furies placed. And now the wretch those dreadful words begun, which trouble make deep hell and all her flock. Now trembled is the air, the golden sun his fearful beams in clouds did close and lock. When from the tower, which Ismen could not shun, out fled a mighty stone, late half a rock, which light so just upon the wizards three, that driven to dust their bones and bodies be. To less than naught their members old were torn, and shivered were their heads to pieces small as are the bruised grains of corn, when from the mill dissolved to meal they fall. their damned souls to deepest hell downborne, far from the joy and light celestial, the Furies plunged in the infernal lake. O mankind, at their ends, and sample take. This while the engine, which the tempest cold had saved from burning with his friendly blast, approached had so near the battered hold that on the walls her bridge at ease she cast. But Soliman ran thither, fierce and bold, to cut the plank whereon the Christians passed, and had performed his will, save that upreared high in the skies a turret new appeared. Far in the air up clomb the fortress tall, higher than house, than steeple, church, or tower. The pagans trembled to behold the wall and city subject to her shot and power. Yet kept the Turk his stand, though on him fall of stones and darts a sharp and deadly shower. And still to cut the bridge he hopes and strives, and those that fear with cheerful speech revives. The angel Michael, to all the rest unseen, appeared before Godfredo's eyes, in pure and heavenly armor richly dressed, brighter than Titan's rays in clearest skies. "Godfrey," quoth he, "this is the moment blessed to free this town that long in bondage lies. See, see what legions in thine aid I bring, for heaven assist thee, and heaven's glorious king. Lift up thine eyes, and in the air behold the sacred armies, how they mustered be, that cloud of flesh in which for times of old all mankind wrapped is, I take from thee, and from thy senses their thick mist unfold, that face to face thou mayst these spirits see, and for a little space right well sustain their glorious light, and view those angels plain. Behold the souls of every lord and knight that late bore arms and died for Christ's dear sake, how on thy side against this town they fight, and of thy joy and conquest will partake. There, where the dust and smoke blind all men's sight, where stones and ruins such an heap do make, there Hugo fights, in thickest cloud embarred, and undermines that bulwark's groundwork hard. See Dudon yonder, who with sword and fire assails and helps to scale the northern port, that with bold courage doth thy folk inspire, and rears their ladders gainst the assaulted fort. He that high on the mount in grave attire is clad, and crowned stands in kingly sort, is Bishop Adhemar, a blessed spirit, blessed for his faith, crowned for his death and merit. But higher lift thy happy eyes and view where all the sacred hosts of heaven appear. He looked, and saw where winged armies flew, innumerable, pure, divine, and clear. A battle round of squadrons three they show, and all by threes those squadrons ranged were, which spreading wide in rings still wider go. Moved with a stone, calm water circleth so. With that he winked, and vanished was, and gone. That wondrous vision, when he looked again, his worthies fighting viewed he one by one, and on each side saw signs of conquest plain. For with Rinaldo, gainst his yielding loan, his knights were entered, and the pagans slain. This scene the Duke no longer stay could brook, but from the bearer bold his ensign took, and on the bridge he stepped, but there was stayed by Soliman, who entrance all denied. That narrow tree to virtue great was made, the field as in few blows right soon was tried. "Here will I give my life for Sion's aid, here will I end my days," the Soldan cried. "Behind me, cut or break this bridge, that I may kill 1,000 Christians first, then die." But thither fierce Rinaldo threatening went, and at his sight fled all the Soldan's train. "What shall I do, if here my life be spent? I spend and spill," quoth he, "my blood in vain." With that his steps from Godfrey back he bent, and to him let the passage free remain, who threatening followed as the Soldan fled, and on the walls the purple cross dispread. About his head he tossed, he turned, he cast that glorious ensign with a thousand twines. Thereon the wind breathes with his sweetest blast. Thereon with golden rays glad Phoebus shines. Earth laughs with joy. The streams forbear their haste. Floods clap their hands. On mountains dance the pines. And Sion's towers and sacred temples smile for their deliverance from that bondage vile. And now the armies reared the happy cry of victory, glad, joyful, loud, and shrill. The hills resound, the echo showereth high, and Tancred bold, that fights in combat still with proud Argantes, brought his tower so nigh that on the wall, against the boaster's will, in his despite, his bridge he also laid, and won the place, and there the cross displayed. But on the southern hill, where Raymond fought against the townsmen and their aged king, his hardy Gascoignes gained small or naught, their engine to the walls they could not bring, for thither all his strength the prince had brought, for life and safety sternly combating, and for the wall was feeblest on that coast, there were his soldiers bent, and engines most. Besides, the tower upon that quarter found unsure, uneasy, and uneven the way. Nor art could help but that the rougher ground the rolling mass did often stop and stay. But now of victory the joyful sound the king and Raymond heard amid their fray, and by the shout they and their soldiers knew the town was entered on the plain below. Which heard, Raimondo thus bespake this crew. The town is won, my friends, and doth it yet resist? Are we kept out still by these few? Shall we no share in this high conquest get? But from that part the king at last withdrew. He strove in vain their entrance there to let, and into a stronger place his folk he brought, where to sustain the assault a while he thought. The conquerors at once now entered all. The walls were won, the gates were opened wide. Now bruised, broken down, destroyed fall the ports and towers that battery durst abide. Rageth the sword, death murdereth great and small, and proud twixt woe and horror sad doth ride. Here runs the blood, in ponds there stands the gore, and drowns the knights in whom it lived before. End of Book 18.